In all four of the Gospels, there are accounts of appearances that Jesus made to his disciples, individual disciples or disciples as a group, on that very day of the resurrection, on the first day of the week. And some of those appearances took place in the early morning and some in the afternoon, and a number of them took place in the evening. And while the details of each one of those stories may be somewhat different one from another, the central message remains the same. That on that day, Jesus' disciples saw him and were physically present to him as he was physically present to them. And that this was not some kind of a mirage. This was not some kind of a hallucination. This was a physical presence of the risen Lord to his disciples. John the Evangelist wrote his gospel toward the very end of the first century of the Christian era. And so the people to whom John was writing, that community, were people who had never seen Jesus. The public life of Jesus and his death and his resurrection had occurred before those people were born. And what John wants to make sure that they understand is that those who had the physical experience of the risen Lord are by no means better off than his contemporaries who did not have that physical experience. And so the words of Jesus are terribly important for John's community. Thomas, you believe because you have seen. Blessed are those who have not seen, and yet they still believe. And they believe because of the witness of a believing community. They share in the faith of the risen Lord because of the witness of members of that community generation after generation. Matthew, Mark, and Luke describe the Easter event over a fair number of weeks' time. So the suffering and death of the Lord took place on Good Friday. Early on Easter Sunday, he is raised from the dead. 40 days later, the ascension takes place, and he is exalted and returned to the right hand of the Father. And 10 days after that, the Feast of Pentecost and the coming of the Spirit. And that's the way the Christian Church observes those moments in the Easter mystery. But that's not true for St. John the Evangelist. For John, the whole thing takes place at one moment. The moment Jesus is lifted up on the cross is the moment that he is reconciled to his Father. For John, the ascension takes place at the time of the resurrection, and the coming of the Holy Spirit takes place on that same day. For John, it's all one movement. It's all one lifting up and reconciling action of Christ, bringing all that is into union with God. It's a very different image than the image of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it was not an easy image for the early church. It took the early church almost 200 years to accept the gospel according to John, because it was so different from the other ones, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. On that evening of the first day of the week, Jesus comes and he breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. And as the Father has sent me, now I send you." I send you to be witnesses, to proclaim to the world the gracious, compassionate love of God. And what allows a person to do that is the gift of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit of God filling the lives of those disciples, sends them out to engage the world and to witness to the compassionate, gracious love of God, to witness to the truth of God, to witness to the world the goodness of God, and to embrace that world. For many people, the world was a difficult, if not an impossible place, but not for the community of John. In John's Gospel, Jesus says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only Son." And he did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And so those disciples are sent forth to engage this world, to witness by what they say and do to the truth of God's goodness, to the power of God's justice, to the graciousness of God's mercy. That's the job of disciples. And a job made possible only because of the outpouring of the Spirit. Now, that gift of the Spirit has first come to you and to me in the sacrament of baptism. But that Spirit is fulfilled for us. The fullness of that Spirit is given to us in the sacrament of confirmation. And in virtue of that sacrament, we are called to be witnesses. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the big question was, are you a believer? In John's Gospel, the big question is, are you a witness? John's Gospel is about witnessing to the truth of God. And that Jesus is the ultimate witness to God's power and his desire to save. Well, tomorrow evening, young people of this congregation will receive that fullness of the gift of the Spirit in the sacrament of confirmation. And I have invited them all to be here at 10:30 this morning, so that you and I might pray for them, that we might, by our prayer, bless them, so that we might ask that the Spirit of God truly fill them, so that they may be credible witnesses to the compassionate, gracious justice of God and God's love. And so in order to do that, I'm going to ask that these young people who are going to be confirmed, that you step forward and you arrange yourselves here on this platform, facing out to the congregation. So come on. Don't be shy. Come on.